comes Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, riding a donkey that's never been ridden. Yes, we all love him. Waving palm branches, throwing our cloaks down, we all sing Hosanna. 'Cause we're hoping our King has come our way. Yes, Jesus Christ comes today. Or, got another Christmas one, but come into town.
The head will be gone.
You, huh?
The head will be gone.
You'd better get up, you better come down, you better get ready to sing and shout. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He's healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching 5,000, assuring they're fed. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He's riding on a donkey, a colt no one has rode. This is to fulfill prophecy, one that everyone has knowed. He's making a list and checking it twice. Lots of disciples, that would be nice. Jesus Christ is coming. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming to town.
Yes,
he is. That would be great. That's a very teaching thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I just think about that. Learning.
Did you write this or did you find it?
No, this is by Carol Penner. I found this last year around this time. Mm-hmm. It's called Coming to the City Nearest You. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest you. Jesus comes to the gate, to the synagogue, to houses prepared for wedding parties, to the pools where people wait to be healed, to the temple where lambs are sold, to gardens beautiful in the moonlight. He comes to the governor's palace. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest to you, to new subdivisions and trailer parks, to penthouses and basement apartments, to the factory, the hospital, and the gas station, to the big box outlet store, and to churches with the same wonderful message, unchanged from the beginning of time. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest you, with his good news. And hope erupts, joy springs forth, the very stones cry out, Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds jostle and push, they just can't get close enough. People run alongside, flinging down their coats before him. Jesus, the parade marshal, waves, smiling. The paparazzi elbow for room, looking for that perfect picture for the headline, The Man Who Would Be King. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest you, and gets the red carpet treatment. Children waving real palm branches from the florist, silk palm branches from Walmart, palms made from greens and construction paper. Hosannas ringing in churches, chapels, cathedrals, monasteries, basilicas, and tent meetings. King Jesus, honored in 1,000 hymns in Canada, Cameroon, Calcutta, and Cahaba. We love this great, big, powerful capital K, King Jesus, coming in glory and splendor and majesty and awe and power and might. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest you, kingly. He takes a towel and washes feet. With majesty, he serves bread and wine. With honor, he prays all night. With power, he puts on chains. Jesus, King of all creation, appears royally in the eyes of the prisoner, the AIDS orphan, the crack addict, asking for one cup of cold water, one coat shared with someone who has none, one heart, yours, and a second mine. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city nearest to you.
Bless.
Do we have time for a song?
Quick. Use your mic.
Okay. This is Via Della Rosa, y'all probably all
know. Oh, yeah, I love it.
And I printed out the Spanish with the part of it with the translation into English in case you want, you're interested in.
You know, I always wanted that.
It's not the whole song, but it's the translation of the Spanish. It's basically what the other verse has, but it's a little, the wording is just a little different.
You're going to do it in Spanish?
Yeah, I'm going to, the part that, it's not the whole song, just there's a Spanish part of it.
Hello. Is it
time? Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, triste die. In Jerusalem, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del Dolor, como hueva vino Cristo Rey. That would cleanse the souls of all men made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the
That's a powerful song.
Let's talk about something else. This is the Lord, I guess. See, there's the Lord of Ray. I don't know, y'all can see, y'all can sign that. My brother Thurston was saying, you know, when a man does a miracle, everybody just listen. You know, everybody just listens to it. Whatever he says is good, you know. But you have to decide whether what someone's speaking
exactly
is true or not true.
So, right? That's what Paul said. He said, this is not from the Lord, this is from me.
Yeah. So you have to listen to everybody. Me, to Brother Thurston, everybody. Whenever you listen for with the ears of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? Who has his ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
Yeah.
Right? Let him hear what the Spirit says. So we have to have ears of the Spirit. Listen to to what was being said and judge. Mm-hmm. It's all about wisdom. Judging. Mm-hmm. Right? What we've been talking about. So, I'll get around to what I was going to say now. You know, the anointing, we talk about the anointing a lot. And when I came to church here, I heard everybody talking about the anointing a lot. And boy, what are they talking about? And I didn't know what this was. You see. And so I was listening to a teacher one day, and he said, well, look. This wasn't here, but he said, look, the anointing, go back and look at what it means. Okay? The anointing is rubbing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's pouring oil on something. Right? And what they would do, they would anoint the vessels that were going to be used to worship God in the temple. Mm-hmm. All the vessels that were going to be used in the temple, they would anoint them. And then they would anoint a person. Right? They would anoint, as you were saying, they would anoint Saul to be king. They would anoint David to be king. Well, what did that mean when they anointed the vessels? What did that mean when they anointed the vessels? Well, like you said, it sets them apart for a special use.
Yeah.
That is what it is. It's not power in itself. Mm-hmm. It means just being set apart for a special use. We think, when I hear anointing being used, I think they're talking about power, right? Mm-hmm. But the anointing is not power in itself.
Kind of like King David, when he was anointed, okay? He was for a special use to be king.
Exactly. But he didn't get power right then. You understand? He didn't get to be king right then, did he? Right. No, he didn't. It was a long time before he got to be king, right? But the vessels are set apart. They're not going to be used like other vessels.
That's good.
They are special.
They're sanctified.
They are kept from being used for anything else except that one thing. Mm-hmm. Saul, he's set apart to be king. He's not like other men anymore.
Right.
He is set apart to be king. Mm-hmm. He focuses on being king. He does things that a king does. He doesn't go and do things that a normal guy does. Mm-hmm. Right? He goes and does things that kings do. He thinks a different way. Mm-hmm. Right? He lives a different way. Mm-hmm. Those vessels are in the temple. They're not used like other vessels. They're dedicated to one thing. Mm-hmm. They focus on that one thing. And that's all they do. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. They're in that temple. They don't go get carried down the street, get something else and be bring it. Mm-hmm. It's right there in that temple all the time doing one thing. Mm-hmm. The anointing for us, it's just that. Why does the anointing break the yoke? When you dedicate yourself to God, when you focus on God and godly things, and godly ways, all right, what happens? What yoke are you breaking? The yoke of sin. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The yoke of the devil.
Yeah.
We're no longer slaves to sin.
No.
We're no longer in bondage to the prince of this world.
Yeah.
You see, we focus on godly things.
Yes.
We break the yoke. You see, the yoke is to the ways of the world. Worldly wisdom, okay? We break the yoke of the culture. We separate ourselves from doing the things that the culture does. Watching the movies the culture wants us to watch. Reading the books that they want us to read. Okay? Talking about subjects they want us to talk about. Instead, we focus on the Lord. We focus on God's Word.
Yeah.
We watch movies that God wants us to see. We talk to people about things that God wants us to talk about. You see, we read books that He wants us to read. You see? we separate ourselves from the world. And when we separate ourselves from the world, mm-hmm. we get the anointing.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That means we have anointed. Mm-hmm. We're anointed, and then there comes the power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see? Because when you do that, you separate yourself from doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can build up your faith, right, mm-hmm. by getting rid of doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got this much faith, well, God says that's enough to move trees and mountains. Yeah. but it can't do it if you got that much unbelief and that much doubt.
Yeah.
Right? You're overwhelmed.
Yes.
So what you have to do is you have to separate yourself. Mm-hmm. You're anointed. The anointing is separating, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that,
you get rid of the doubt and unbelief.
You get rid of the doubt and unbelief, and suddenly you've got enough faith to move mountains and trees. It doesn't take much.
Right.
It doesn't take much
that's true.
Faith
because it's not
to move
religion.
A tree or move a mountain.
Uh-uh.
That's true.
If you
that's
don't
right.
have the doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you've got to get yourself away from the world.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got to mm-hmm. get yourself away from this culture.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you got to... go off and be a hermit.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about, you know, going off and enter a monastery and just, you know, on your knees all day. We have to be in the world, but not of it. Uh-huh. Because we are the city set on a hill.
Yeah.
Our light needs to shine out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our light needs to shine out. So we have to be in the world, but just not of it.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. So, time's almost up, but I did want to mention that to you. When we do that, you know, the world has its own wisdom.
Yeah.
And if you talk to the world, they'll tell you how to do your finances, mm-hmm. how to live your life, how to choose a mate, you know, how to choose a job, how to work in your job, all these kind of things. The world will tell you these things. Mm-hmm. It has its own wisdom. But that's not the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? The wisdom of God will tell you how to do things. And maybe it doesn't seem like common sense. And though it's uncommon sense. It's uncommon sense. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not common sense that Peter would leave a thriving fishing business uh-huh. and go follow a itinerant Jewish, you know, preacher.
And just walks up to him, really, you know.
And just goes with him and just leaves everything, leaves his whole business, you know.
And
how's
why?
He going for it? How's Peter going to take care of his family? How Peter, you know, he's got a mother-in-law, he's got his wife.
Right.
How's he going to take care of all these if he just leaves his fishing boat and abandons it and just follows this
and
man?
And employees.
Yeah, and employees. So we, you know, see, that's uncommon sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see, that's uncommon sense, but he had just seen this fisherman, this itinerant preacher mm-hmm. that wasn't, you know, he was a carpenter. What did he know about fishing? Mm-hmm. Like a Jew. Hey, what you know about fishing? Huh? You're a carpenter. Yeah. What you know about fishing? Pull in the biggest haul that Peter had ever seen.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, if he can do that with something he don't know anything about, I think I can follow him. I don't think I'm going to miss a meal.
Yeah.
And we know he didn't, right?
That's right.
So we use that uncommon sense. We think, well, if you do this, things are not going to go well for you. The world will tell you things won't go well for you
mm-hmm.
if you do this. They'll just tell you, hey, it's not going to work, all right? Because you're not using common sense. You're not investing your money wisely. You're not investing your time wisely. You're not investing your resources wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But God says it will.
Yeah.
God says it will.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing. I got kind of tired of working for somebody else about 25 years ago. And I said, God, you'll just do this with me. We'll just have our own business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work for anybody. I'll work for, you know, myself. I have my own business. I won't do it. I said, but, you know, Lord, I am not a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a glad hander. I don't come around and shake your hand, you know. And I unlike other folks, I don't know what to say to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, my brother-in-law, he can walk up to anybody and talk about anything. Just boom, you know, just
It's amazing how he does that. He ought to be a salesman. But, you know, he can just do anything, you know. And I'm going, I can't do that. I just don't know how to do that. I'm just not that kind of person, you know. I don't have that talent. So I didn't ask God for the talent to do that. I asked him, I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to market myself. I'm not going to put ads in. I'm not going to make commercials. I'll do the work. You just bring it in.
Amen.
Oh, that's stupid. Isn't that stupid in the way of the world? The world will tell you most new businesses fail within 5 years when they start. And they also tell you, you've got to advertise. You've got to let people know you're there.
3 years.
You got to get out there, right? You got to let people know you're there. You got to let them know your product. Da 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 da. I didn't do that. I just said, Lord, you bring the work in, and I'll do it. Well, I did it for 20 years. You know? And at the end of 20 years, God showed me a better way. So, you know?
Yeah.
So, you have to hear the word of the Lord. Just totally separate yourself. You're anointed. Totally. We're all anointed, right? Because we have separated ourselves. We do believe in Him. But don't be afraid.
That's right.
To reduce all the unbelief in your life.
That's yeah, true. Yeah.
And all the doubt in your life. So that faith can work.
Good say.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
David, what you pray for?
Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise your righteous name, God, and thank you, Lord, for setting us apart for the work, Lord, you have put before us. And Lord, we are servants of you, Father. So, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just send the work. Because, Lord, we love doing your will, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for always blessing us, always taking care of us, God, according to your riches and glory. We praise you, Lord, just for being the creator of the universe, Lord, for doing all these things, Lord, giving us life, Lord,
yes,
giving
Lord.
Our family salvation, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for this time of camaraderie, Father. And I pray, Father, Lord, that we will use it, Lord, to glorify you in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.